My name's Ann Wood, and I'm an alcoholic. And I'm very grateful to be here, and I want to thank you all for your hospitality, and I want to thank Bob for inviting me here. And I already had a really good meeting this afternoon when we went to the recovery home, and I love being sober. I do. My sobriety date is May 18th, 1981. I'm not really a very funny person, so I like to just get right to my story because I don't tell jokes well, and I'm just going to tell you what it was like and what happened and what I'm like today. I'm a car painter and a bedwetter. I know I got this little nice black dress on, these little hot pink shoes that go with the little piping and the cord of this little dress right here, but I want you to know that when I get so drunk, see, I can't wake myself up, so I just wet the bed. Wet the bed, wet the couch, it doesn't matter. I didn't get to Alcoholics Anonymous because I drank a little bit of wine and spit up. See, I gave it everything. All of my personal dignity, all of the things that my parents taught me, everything that was good inside that I had learned when I was a little kid, one drink at a time. We call it one chunk at a time, one chunk, one chunk, one chunk. And when you get to Alcoholics Anonymous, there's nothing inside, it's just hollow in there. And I knew that, I wore Toreador pants and tube tops when I got here. Because when all you are is what you are on the outside, that's how you dress. And I thought that I was cool. So I had these real tight pants on. You have to lay on the bed and, you know, zip them up. And these little tube tops. And I'd walk in those meetings like I was really cool. And I want you to know that I understand that I see women dress. When I see you dress, I want you to know that I love you so much. I love you with all my heart. And I understand that the reason that we have to dress like that is because that's all we have. And we don't know any better. I didn't know about underwear. I didn't know how to live. I want you to know that I'm a car painter too. This is one of my favorite stories about getting sober, and I still enjoy it. I was going with a Norwalk sheriff, and the fool had hurt my feelings. Now, when I'm drinking, you cannot hurt my feelings. It's not a good idea to hurt my feelings. It's a very, very bad idea to hurt my feelings because, you see, all my life I've never been able to tell you, please don't do that. It makes me feel bad inside. Could you please not talk to me like that? I don't like it when you talk to me like that. You know, that really hurts my feelings when you... I don't know how to do that. So I just... How are you? Fine. How's everything going? Fine. Ever since I was a little bitty kid, you're just fine. People leave you alone when you're fine. How are you? I'm fine. How's school? Fine. How's everything? Fine. It's none of your business how I am. Inside of me, it's none of your business. Do you understand? And so what I learned is that if I'm just fine, everything's fine. You'll leave me alone, and I like that. I don't want you close to me. I don't want you asking questions. I don't want you to, because I know that you're not going to like me if you get too close. So I'm just fine. Thanks. I was fine many years in Alcoholics Anonymous, too, because none of your business either. I almost find myself right out the back door of Alcoholics Anonymous because I couldn't tell you. Anyway, I was going with this sheriff, and he had hurt my feelings, and I found out that in an inventory that, you know, you probably shouldn't be too proud of that. But when you don't know what to do and you've had this much booze and you don't know how to tell them and it's like 9 o'clock on a Thursday night and you're so drunk, you shouldn't be able to get off the couch. Do you know what I mean? But when you're on a mission, I drive over to this store in Bellflower called National Lumber, bought 3 quarts of candy apple red paint, screwdriver, plastic bag, drive over to the Norwalk Sheriff Station parking lot. It's not that fancy one they have over there in Norwalk. It's a little dingy one over there off Firestone. Anyways, this grungy little place, and I just walked in there with my plastic bag. I found that green cougar. I popped the first lid, started on the front. Second lid, threw it on the top. Third lid, threw it on the trunk. Watch this red paint drip off this green cougar for a few seconds. Because you see, when I get up to here, I don't care. I don't care if you catch me. I mean, I can see out of the peripheral vision. There's your black and white cars. In, out, in, out, in, out. I mean, I know it's stupid, but you can't help yourself. Do you know what I mean? So here I am, and you know, and I pick up the lids, and I pick up the cans, and I pick up the screwdriver, and I put them back in the plastic bag because I didn't want to leave anything. It was a police station, you know. I didn't want to leave my fingerprints. Like, duh. And I watch this red paint, and it's dripping off this green cougar, and it's, oh, God. And you walk out of there like you own the place. Do you know what I mean? You drive home and you find a Dipsy Dumpsy, you throw that can, then Dipsy Dumpsy, you go home and wait for the call. Quarter to 11, 11 o'clock, phone rings. Ann, you're not going to believe this.
Really?
Someone painted my car. No kidding. Must have been one of the trustees or somebody that I had arrested followed me in here and painted my car. Wow, that's too bad. And you hang up and you feel real good. I've never been able to tell you, see, because I found out that if I found it in the inventory, that the reason that I'm afraid to tell you is that I don't want you to leave me. If I tell you how I really feel and if I tell you what I really think, that you'll leave me because it might not agree with you, so I'm just fine. Thanks. Part of being in this lovely little family that I was in is, you know, these feelings inside of me, they can't be me. That's got to be him or her or them or those. Maybe it was that stupid church. You know what I mean? I mean, I just felt bad all the time. I was afraid all the time. All the time. So I remember going to this church. So it couldn't. Maybe it was that. Maybe it was their fault. You know, my brother's 2 years older than me. He's nothing like me. He never acted like me. Never was afraid. I'd make him get in front of me on Friday night or Saturday at noon. Part of being in this church is that you line up on the wall. I found an Alcoholics Anonymous. It wasn't that church's fault either. See, I have a disease of twisted perception. My grand sponsor calls it twisted perception. Anyway, I'm behind my brother because I'm scared. I don't want to go in there. And my brother looks calm. My brother has always done the right thing because it's the right thing to do without a book. Do you know what I mean? He just makes me so crazy. Well, that's because we should, Ann. Oh, God. So he's walking up there and getting closer and closer, and he goes in that little bitty room and he tells this guy that he doesn't even know what he's done. And the guy gives him the prayers and he goes up the front of the church, gets on his knees. He's comfortable. I go in that little bitty room. It's very, very dark in there. And if you've never been in there, there's a little bitty door. And this little bitty door slides open. Oh, my God, I lied. I always lied. I couldn't tell him. It was none of his business. The guy had never been married before. What did he know about life? I'm not going to tell him. Now, when you're 8 years old and you got an attitude like that, you add a little bit of booze to that, it can cause you grief. I'm going to tell you. It can. Knee-walking, snot-flinging drunk. That's who I am. I don't want you to think that all of my drinking was just a horrible, hideous mess. Disco dancing. 1979, disco dancing. Oh, my God, and we were cool, too. We'd have these platform shoes. You know, they were very short dresses then, too. And platform shoes. And these platform shoes are about like this high. And they have silver glitter glued all the way around the bottom. And then in the bars, they had these balls. And these mirrored balls. And these mirrored balls, they would move around. And the lights would reflect off of that, hit down, hit the glitter on my shoes. Oh, I was looking good. Now, I'm kind of an alcoholic. You know, I have to have a drink before I go. I have to have four or five drinks before I go. You can't go to a bar sober. Like, that's scary. So you have four or five drinks, and you're getting your makeup on, and you make sure everything is good, and you have five or six. And then you go into the bar, and you have five or six more. And at the end of my drinking, oh, my God, here she'd come. Oh, jeez. Can you just shut up? Can you just shut up and dance? Can you just shut up and dance and have a good time? No, I can't. Because I got all this rage inside of me, and I'm always fine. And I don't, you know, I mean, I can't tell anybody. And you know, here she comes. And she's that wild one, that one that just wants to just rage. That can't tell you. And I'm so nice. And I look nice. And I, you know, I'm nice. And I can't tell you because I don't want you to leave. And I got this volatile rage inside of me. And here comes this one drink. And I can't make her shut up any longer. Just shut up and dance. Shut up and dance. Just have a good time. Stand toe-to-toe to the biggest idiot in there. Say stupid things to him like, go ahead and hit me, I dare you. And they do. Now you have blood coming out of both of your eyebrows because, you know, both of them, you cannot possibly shut. When I get that far gone, you can't shut me up with one pop. Pop, pop. You got to nail me twice. Lay me out on the floor because I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to keep coming, and it's just, I'm insane, and it doesn't matter, and I can't stop it. And so I started drinking at home. I'm the kind of alcoholic that finds a half a glass of wine in the morning. There's a cigarette butt in it. You run all around the house, you try to find something to drink, it's gone. You run back to that glass, it's got a half, you know, half a glass with the cigarette butt in it. Take that cigarette, flick that baby out of there and drink it. Because when I need a drink, I need a drink, and it's my cigarette butt anyway. None of your business. At the end of my drinking, I drank mostly alone. I had two girlfriends left that would at least come to my house. They brought their boyfriends over one night. Women like me, we always have a him. He was in a out mode. He was brown paper bagging it. Brown paper baggers and cat. You know, I know we're in Las Vegas. There's got to be some brown paper baggers. You guys just look like you don't know what I'm talking about. Brown paper baggers, two people. They're married, sort of. They live in the same house. And you drink in your bar and he drinks in his. Never, 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 never drink in the same bar. Very dangerous if you drink in the same bar. You get home. He's not home. Oh. He's out having more fun than me. Oh, I don't like that. So you get his clothes and you put them in a brown paper bag and you stick them out on the front porch. He drives by, sees the brown paper bag. Whoa, not getting in tonight. Grabs that bag and gets the heck out of there. Because, you know, you see when you come in the house, china hutches fall over my house in the middle of the night. People get hit over the head with hammers, blood to poof, poof, poof. Because we were having fun. Just for clarity, he was the china hutch man and I was the hammer woman. Alcoholism, it is an isolation and desperation and a loneliness. If you understand it, you do. And if you don't, I can't explain it. There is no way to explain how a person like me feels. And if you understand it and you understand anything that I tell you tonight, I'm so glad because then I'm not alone. And I come to Alcoholics Anonymous because there's people here. I haven't always been the happiest person. Woo, I'm going to a meeting. But boy, I've always been grateful. Always been grateful to have somewhere to go, somewhere you can go and where you can be yourself and where you can just tell stories about yourself and you don't have to be afraid and you don't have to be ashamed. I had an 8-year-old girl. She was the mom. I was the child. I'm the one that crawls down the hall at 3:30 in the morning crying. She's the one that gets out of bed, pats me on the back and says, Mama, everything's going to be okay and puts me back to bed. That's how we live. I get to Alcoholics Anonymous because there was a woman at this store called the TikTok. 24 years ago, there was a TikTok. Stupid little store. It's kind of like a 7-Eleven. She worked down there, and at 2:30 in the afternoon, see, the booze that I had drank that morning are gone. Do you understand that feeling? It's 9:30. You leave the house at 9:30. You've drank as much as you can so you can still get to work, so you can get your face on. But by 2:30, woo. You get this hole raging in the middle of your gut. You start getting this headache and getting sick at your stomach. You have 5 or 6 more clients to do because I work 2.5 days a week because that's all I can do. And I got to be able to do those customers because I got to pay that house payment, pay that little car payment, and I got to take care of that 8-year-old little girl. And there's nothing wrong with me, and I know that there's not, and I can do this job. So you go down to this little store called the TikTok. You buy yourself a half a gallon of Gallo's Pink Chablis because I'm a fine connoisseur of wine. And have you ever noticed that at 2:30 in the afternoon you're buying booze and you never make eye contact, but you always got to tell them while you're drinking? Oh, the working women will be coming in soon and I'm going to be cutting their hair and I know that they're just, you know, they're really tired and I'm going to get them a glass of wine. They never ask. That woman didn't care. But I had to justify why I was drinking at 2:30 in the afternoon. I had to tell her what I was doing. I got my head down. I got this change. And I'm not making eye contact with her at all, and I put my eye down, and I got that Gallo's Pink Chablis, and I'm looking at that man, and I just, ooh, jeez, I need this. And you're just trying, and here, Alcoholics Anonymous. Well, I looked up. Did she say that? She doesn't look like she said that. So I put my head back down because I don't want to make eye contact with her. And she's giving me back her change, and she's bagging up the Alcoholics Anonymous. Where'd that come from? So I put my head back down because it didn't look like she said anything. Alcoholics Anonymous. Whoa, weird. I grabbed my bottle. She, you know, she never told me one time, Ann, you drink too much. She never, not one time. She was a good member of this program. She never made me feel bad about myself. She never said anything about how I drank, how I acted, how I dressed, or what I did. One night, she says, Ann, I want you to come over and get my car and listen to this tape. I got a half a gallon of Gallo's Pink Chablis. I got a hole in the middle of my stomach. I got customers coming in. I got to do their hair. Do you think I want to go listen to some stupid tape in her stupid car? But because I'm me, I said, oh, okay, fine. That'll be fine. I got a half a gallon Gallo's Pink Chablis sitting on my lap, and she pops this tape in. Now, she's just giggling. You know, she's just, you know how the alkies get when they're just, wow, and they're just, they want us to hear something so bad, and we're new, and we're like still foaming at the mouth, and I mean, like, what? And I'm just sitting there, and I'm going, hope this tape isn't very long. And she pops this tape in, and here comes this very old voice. It was a very, very old voice. I knew the guy was old. And he said, Alcoholics Anonymous. Made me know that lady had something to do with Alcoholics Anonymous. And he had a high-pitched, tee-hee-hee little laugh. His name was Chuck C. If you ever have a chance to listen to one of his tapes, buy it. The guy caught me. I don't know why he caught me. I don't know why it just, oof, that felt good. The man bumped my car one time at a meeting. I mean, like, he wasn't a friend of mine. You know, I hear people get up here. He couldn't have had that many friends. I mean, people say, oh, yeah, he was really good. You know what? He wasn't a friend of mine. I met him at meetings. I was blessed to hear him share. But he bumped my car at that great big old Lincoln of his one time. Oh, geez, I'd love Chuck Chamberlain hit my car. Woo-hoo! Like, that's cruel. Anybody else would have hit my car. I'd have been ballistic. But, you know, this guy was very special. Anyway, you know, this woman, I'm desperate. I think Alcoholics Anonymous works really good when you're desperate. When you don't have one more good idea, when you don't have one more tricky thing to do, when you don't have one more person to ask, when you don't have one more person, when there is nowhere else to go. It was one of those nights, I'm in the kitchen. These girls got their boyfriends. They're dancing. He's gone. I can get as drunk as I want to get, and I'm in my own house. I'm mixing them drinks, and I'm pouring vodka, half a gallon of vodka, in this little bitty hole of this Diet Coke can in my own house. And I went, wow, there's something wrong with the way you drink. What's the matter with you? Called that woman the next day. I said, Marion, I think I might drink too much. Oh, honey. You know how sick and happy they get. Oh, honey. I've been waiting for you for such a long time. Oh, my God. Do you think you cannot drink for a half an hour? Does that woman stupid? Do you know how long a half an hour is? Now, if you have a drink before you call them. If you have the drink before you call them, I mean, like, sure. Like what? Of course we can. I was just didn't know. I'm desperate. When I'm telling you I'm desperate, I'm desperate. I called her before I had my morning drink. Oh, do you think you can not drink for a half an hour? Oh, man, Marion, I'll try. I'll try. She called me back in 1/2 hour, and she said, Ann, we're going to a meeting in Bellflower. Bellflower, oh, geez. That's where I work. Don't you worry. It's going to be okay. She said, it's going to be at the woman's club. The woman's club. My God, somebody's going to see me. She says, don't you worry. It'll be all right. I want you to get there early. It's a real big, busy meeting. I want you to get there early. I'll have a seat for you. Now, you know, it's just been in the last couple of years that I am just so amazed. And my little head just went, well, of course you'll have a seat for me. You know how we newcomers are? She said, well, I will have a seat for you. And I thought, well, of course you will. Like, why wouldn't you? I'm coming. You know? I mean, there's just an arrogance there that's just so past. And if I can remember that, the people that I sponsor don't have to take my wrath, because I'm just so amazed when I think about what our... Well, of course you'll have a seat, for God's sake. Why wouldn't you? And I got there, and she had a seat. It's the second section, second row, third seat in. That's my seat. 24 years later, I watch that seat every Monday night. You can get sober in that seat. I love Betsy. I got up and I said, my name's Ann and I'm an alcoholic. I sat down and I cried for the first time in a long time. When you drink like me and you act like me and you're with the people that I was with, you don't cry and you don't show them, not ever. It's a weakness and it can be very dangerous and you just don't cry. I never cried. I sat down and I started crying. I don't know why, but I felt like I was home. I know that some of you newcomers don't feel like that. I pray that you stay long enough that you feel safe. I do. I sat down and I cried, and this is sickening. First 4 years of my sobriety was a walk in the park for me. I am so sick of choking my daughter. I am so sick of getting her on the ground. I am so sick of coming home from the store and she drops a bottle of wine on the garage floor, it splatters all over, and I got to choke her because my head tells me that she did that on purpose. I am so sick of doing the things that I was doing. I know I'm crazy. I know I can't stop. I know I need to be somewhere, and I'm in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I don't understand it yet, but I do know that there's something going on in that room. I knew it. First 4 years, you know, we're real busy. We did a whole lot. How are you? I'm fine. How's everything going? Fine. Did my answer? It's fine. I was going. I'm fine. Everything's fine. There's a part of me I'm not going to tell you, though. There's a part of me that you're not going to see. There's a part of me that I just can't. You know, there's some little things going on in there, and I'm not going to tell you because it's none of your business. Because I got this raging person still inside there, and don't get too close to me. My sponsor says, Anna, why don't you get up front? No. I'm fine right here. Get up front. No. I said, get up front. Ooh, she's okay. I get up front, and I'm still up front. All these years later. Because see, I'm in the back of your head going, do you not know that you need your neck shaved? My God, where I bet you got one of those cheap haircuts. Why would you ever color your hair like that? Somebody is up here at this podium sharing their experience, strength, and hope with me, and I'm worried about you needing your neck shaved. Because my mind is always talking, always talking. I can't have somebody's head in front of me because it's always just going. And I mean, I get sidetracked and there's a bee going around. What is? I can't help it. I can't. I can't have anybody in front of me. So I sit up in the front row just like she said because my mind just won't shut up long enough for somebody to be able to get to it. So I sit up there and I'm sitting up there and I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. I have a sponsor who I love very much. She loves me. I make a terrible mistake. I turn her into my mom. You know, the sun's shining and the birds are singing. It's a beautiful day outside. But when you got a head like mine, pew. Whoa, that was weird. Weird. Kind of floating around in there. Weird little thoughts floating around there. I can handle one. It ain't no big deal. I can handle one. Pew. There goes another one. Whoa. There's another weird thought. Weird little thought going on in there. Pew, here goes another one. Whoa, man, now there's a bunch of them. See, and I don't want that lady to think that I don't have it. I don't want that lady. I want her to be her best baby. I want to be her very best baby. I want her to think that I've got this real good. I don't want to tell her that I got this weird thing going on in my head. I don't want, so I just don't tell her nothing. You know, I mean, I just stay quiet, smiling. Fine. How's everything? Fine. How's Lori? Fine. That's my daughter. Fine. Everything's fine. How's work? Fine. How's that husband of yours? Fine. Haven't seen him in months. Fine. Everything's fine. Going to the market. How's that husband of yours? Fine. Haven't seen him in months. Fine. Everything's fine. The meeting tomorrow night? Sure. Everything's fine. The brown paper bag guy calls me at about 4.5 years of sobriety. You want to go on a cruise?
Ooh.
Cruise. Free. I like free. Free cruise. I've never been on a cruise in my life. There'll be other sober members of Alcoholics Anonymous there. Free. Oh, I like that. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. I don't call my sponsor. I say yes and call my sponsor. You know, in those things when you know you're doing the wrong thing, you absolutely positively know you're doing the wrong thing, but you say yes anyway because it makes it very difficult, then you call your sponsor and tell her what you did. Ah, they'll get over it. I call her up and I go, I'm going on a cruise. Really? With the brown paper bag guy? Yeah. Have a good time. Hung up on me. Ooh. She got over it, you know. Come back from that cruise 2.5 months later. I don't like him. He doesn't like me. He doesn't like me drunk. He doesn't like me sober, and vice versa. We just don't like each other. I hadn't seen him for 2.5 months when we got back from the cruise. Very short period of time was good. The rest of it sucked. Anyway, this fast-growing tumor is in my belly. I'm getting a little nervous about it. I go to the doctor. His name's Matthew. I don't like him. My daughter's about 13 years old now. I've opened a beauty salon. I want you to know that anybody in this room, if you do these steps and you do what you're supposed to do, you follow a sponsor's direction, you have a dream in the back corner of your mind, and you keep doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you put that dream into some form of action, and you can have anything you want. Here, sober. I mean that. This little shop is, it's running all these years later. The name of that shop is Just For You, because my sponsor told me, and you can't get sober for your mom or your dad or your kids or your boyfriend. It's just for you. That has held me in very good stead for a long time. I drive up to that little beauty shop, and I look there, and I look at that little sign, and I flip it. Every day that I go to work, I have this just a little bitty coffee pot, just like REA coffee pots, just smaller. I got one of them bun burners one time, you know, one of them fancy little bun burners. You know, you put the water in, instantaneously the coffee comes out, and oh, my God, we were so cool. Because the shop is very successful because I work tradition one on it, what's best for the whole. And that's a fact. What's best for the whole doesn't matter. And it works. It works real good. So I'm thinking I'm really very, very cool. And we should have a bun burner now. So we get this bun burner, and some lady comes in, and I just wanted to rip off her head and, you know what, and her neck. And I just said... And I go to this coffee pot because it always gives me courage and it always gives me, and it always made me think of you. And I got this fancy little bun burner. Got to throw that son of a gun away and get my little coffee pot. I have to remember from whence I came. I have to remember that I come from you. I have to remember that without you, see, I'll be back on that couch again. I'll be choking my daughter. I'll be acting like a maniac. I'll be driving down the 91 freeway with one eye closed, still seeing Bloomfield, Bloomfield. Because if you take your hand off, you see Bloomfield, 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 Bloomfield. Because, I mean, I'm a little drunk. So I know that I can't get out there. I know that all these years later, I need to go to these meetings. I need to be here. I need you more than I've ever needed Alcoholics Anonymous, because I don't ever want to think that because I got these fancy little shoes on and that I got this cute little dress on that I'm, you know, cured. There is a thing inside of me that just sits here, and I keep it under control in Alcoholics Anonymous with the loving God that I have found here, and a thing called humility that I try my very best, not on a continual basis, to live by, but I try. I know that it's a secret, because when I'm humble, I'm teachable, and when I'm arrogant, I'm dangerous. Anyway, this little boy comes out through no direct, it had nothing to do with anything. My son comes out mentally and physically retarded. I hate your guts. I don't tell anybody because it's none of your business. Do you understand that? I don't tell any of you. It's none of your damn business. How's your new baby? Fine. How's your husband? Fine. How's everything? Fine. Everything's fine. How's your shop? Fine. How's it? Fine. Everything's fine. I'm sitting in the front row now. People get up to this podium and they go, and the loving God that we found here in Alcoholics Anonymous. Oh, it is dangerous. I am just right pole vault. I could have grabbed them and just ripped off their heads. Because, see, I don't want to tell them, and I don't want to tell my sponsor, and I don't want to tell you, and it's none of your business. And I hate God. And I hate you. And I drive home from meetings with this fake face, and I'm pounding on the steering wheel, and I'm cussing at God. And I don't know what to do. And I do it for a year. And the man that sponsored me, and I don't care what you think about that, for up until 1 year, when I got to an age where I needed to talk to a woman about woman things, and I'm fine, thank you, I feel real good, and I'm healthy. But I needed to change this sponsor. But this man, I was coming out of a meeting called The Hole in the Ground in Huntington Park at Christmas time, 1 year after my son was born. And he took one look at me, and he said, Ann, He'd watch me from my first day of sobriety. He said, if you don't find one person in here you can trust and a few friends to share your life with, then you're going to die.
Whoa.
You know the hole that rages in the middle of your gut? You know the one that fills up with a drink? You know the one that if you leave unattended for a long enough period of time and you're driving home and you got a hole in your gut and it stays in your gut and it's long time this hole's in the middle of your gut and you don't tell anybody and you don't talk about it and the hole's getting bigger and bigger? I know what fills that hole. A drink fills that hole. When that man told me the truth, see, the hole goes away. When someone loves you enough in Alcoholics Anonymous to tell you the truth on a continual basis, even if it hurts your feelings, wow, the hole goes away. I need to make a sponsor change. That man, I told him everything. Every slimy little thing, everything that I hated, just, I hate God. He said, you know what, Ann? He said, there are things of this earth and there are things of God. And cerebral palsy is of this earth. He is not of God. You can't hate God. See, I trusted him and I loved him and I wanted to be okay. And I wanted to stay sober, so I believed him and the hole went away. This little boy's turned out to be the miracle of my life. He's the finest little person. He's mentally 5 years old. He's just turned 20. He plays basketball and he plays, he rides horses and he can't write and he can't spell, but he's a miracle of my life. Because he taught me the secret, and here it is. The secret for me is unconditional love. He loves me in the morning when I'm butt ugly. He loves me in the morning when I'm not nice. He loves me in the afternoon. He loves me all the time. Every time he sees my face, he loves me. He fills the hole up inside of me because, see, I've never loved anything or anybody in my entire life. I always have a condition. I like big houses, big cars, big diamonds, big. I like big. And I want to know how much money you have in the bank, and I want to know what kind of a car you drive, and I want to... That's me. And that little boy, he has taken all of that superficial. He loves me. I love my daughter, too. She's 33. She's sober for 5 years. She's truly my best friend. I loved her, too, but when she was a little bitty girl... I love you, but you know what? I want you to take out the trash, and I want you to do better in your homework, and I wish you were a yell eater, and I always got a condition. Do you know what I mean? A man would say to me, Ann, I love you. And I go, what do you want? I tell him exactly what to say, and he'd say it. That ain't it. I go around and just bit. Angry all the time. Oh, it's got these jerks. Verbatim. And I really mean it. You're everything I've ever wanted, and I love you with all my heart. That ain't it. And if I got to tell you, you stupid idiot, it ain't right anyway. The hole is in me. It's not in anybody around me. And this little boy has filled up this hole. He loves me. And because he's loved me, see, I love him unconditionally. He doesn't have to do anything. Nothing. I love him. Because I love him, I can love you. Because I love you, I can begin to love me. I hear people get up to this podium and they say, I've come to a few meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous and love myself. Good for you. I didn't come to a few meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous to begin to love myself. It took me a long time to like me. He loves me. I love him. I love him. I can love you. I love you. I love me. That's how it works for me. What a miracle for me to have this kid every day in my life. I don't want you to think that I'm really crazy. There are times when this little boy has accidents 3 or 4 times. One day it was one of those days and he just wasn't feeling up to snuff. And it washed him off 3 times, gave him 3 different baths, put 3 different... Damn it, Matthew. Don't always act the way that I want to act on a continual basis. Not always the person that I want to be. Do not think that I get up here because I'm glib and I can tell you that I love that boy, that it's not hard and that it's, you know, sometimes I wish it wasn't that way. But I go to a meeting that night, and I'm sitting there. I'm the timer. Some real tall, good-looking blonde woman, about 45, 50 years old, gets up there, and she goes, "I used to be a yell leader." Oh, I bet you were. She was sharing her story, and she's married to an attorney. Oh, I know you are. You know how we're sitting over there and we're watching somebody and she's got long legs. I hate people with long legs. And, you know, and she's looking good. And I got that timer and I just went, flip that timer because I'm in a gnarly mood because I've washed poop off my kid, you know, 4 times and I'm tired. And doesn't God know that I'm 19 years sober at the time? When the hell is this going to stop? I mean, like, don't you know who I am? I don't say nothing, but that's what I'm thinking. And right at the end of this woman's story, she was talking about her 2 children. And right at the end, she says, and my son was coming home. He was a scholarship in Arizona State. And he was coming home, and he was killed in a car accident. Jesus. See, you can knock me off the chair. I still need to come to these meetings because everything that I need, I get in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. If that woman hadn't have been good enough, she wouldn't have been kind enough. If she didn't have a good sponsor, if she didn't know the rules just like I do. You say you're going to be there, be there. You say you're going to show up, show up. You have a sponsor that tells you, I don't care what you think, go. And she stood up there and she said that, and I knew that woman would do anything to wipe the poop off her son's butt. From that day on, I have never had to get angry at my son like that. I have always been, the answers are here in Alcoholics Anonymous, no matter what they are, no matter what you think they are, no matter what kind of a problem you're having, you stay in these meetings and the answers will come. I give you my word, not in the way you want them to, but they come. And if you just stay open and you don't slam your mind shut, they'll come. Maybe not in the time that I want them to come, but they'll be there. Here's this kid, you know, and he just, he rides horses. He tells me that he loves me. I go to work in a beauty salon that I own where there's 15 women. Can you imagine that? And we all get along. There are women that have worked in that shop for 13 and 14 years. Hairdressers never stay anywhere for 13 and 14 months. We're always moving. We're artistic. Everything that I've learned, everything, all those holes that I drank away one chunk at a time, Alcoholics Anonymous has filled up. One meeting at a time. I don't ever want to get caught with a meeting short. Not ever. One time I was out in Palm Springs, and if there's anyone in here that has an answer, that doesn't have an answer to the reoccurring problem, there's a man called Clancy, who's my grand sponsor, and he comes out in the middle of the day with a great big book under his arm about the Civil War. Now, you see, when you got that many years of sobriety, what you're supposed to do is stay up in your room. That's what I'm going to do. I don't want to come down there in the pool and just hang around with these people that are going to bug me and ask me stupid questions. And I was watching him eat lunch with somebody, and I'm laying out there, and I thought, where's my sponsor? My sponsor's not here. Look at Karen. She's having lunch with her sponsor. Jesus, if I was sitting at that table, I'd ask him why that happened to my son. And then I lay back down and kind of forget it. About an hour later, you hear all this activity coming. Hey, talking, everybody gets excited, you know. I look up. Oh, my God. It's him. God, I was just kidding. Don't send him over here. I will not talk to him. I don't like him. He scares me. I just keep him away from me. Don't send him over here. I won't ask him the question anyway. He's coming closer and closer and closer. And Clancy goes right up to me and he goes, is that lounge empty? Yeah. Would you like to sit? Sure, fine. Sit down. I'm laying there, and I had made a pact with God if I could ask this guy. Because, see, I've asked God every day. I was in the bathroom that morning crying. Why? Why my boy? I didn't understand the answer yet. And although I'm smiling and all, although I'm grateful, I'm still sad inside. There's a corner of me. And I said, Clancy, I have this little boy. I need help. I need for you to tell me. Why? And he started out like everybody else starts out, same stupid. You know, God gives big hoffs, big loads to big hoffs and little loads to girls named Ann. And he said, you know, some bad things happen to good people, and the good people are really good people, and that's why that. And all of a sudden, he just stopped. And he said, Ann, I don't know. He said, in another place and in another time, you won't know the answer. But right here, right now, I don't know. From that moment on, I can get up every day of my life and I can ask a question that doesn't have an answer. I can rip myself up. I can make myself feel bad. I can hurt myself. I can make myself feel, get on the pity pot. I can hurt me bad asking a question that has no answer. Or I can do what I'm supposed to do. I get up in the morning and I thank God that the sunshine and the birds are singing, that I have my son alive, that I have you to be with, that I have a salon, that I live a life beyond my wildest drunken dreams, and that I don't have to ask questions that have no answers so that I can hurt myself, because in another place and in another time, I will know that answer, but I don't have to know it today, and I can live with that. And I found that out because there's a man with so many years of sobriety that will come out and sit by the pool and talk to a goof like me instead of stay up in the room and be comfortable. It's Alcoholics Anonymous. It's people like him. It's people that come on a continual basis and show up and sit in their seat. I sit in the same seat every meeting, all the time. I go to as many meetings as I went to before. I have, my scale is if there's 30 days in a month, I go to 15 meetings. Because, by God, I can at least get half of my life back to Alcoholics Anonymous. I can. Easy. It's easy. My mom died of cancer. My father died of, they thought he had Alzheimer's. He had many strokes. One day I went over there, you know, and my dad's covered in stool. I think I'm the stool person. I'm not too sure. But sometimes I just wonder. I seem to do that a lot. Anyway, there he was, and he was tied up because people that have Alzheimer's or have brain damage, they get up and they walk around, and they think they're choking, so they have to pull stuff they don't like. So they have to tie him up to keep him in bed, and I get there, and I, oh, God. What have you taught me to do? You always come to me when I need you. Well, what's the next indicated thing, Ann? I can hear you. What's the next indicated thing, Ann? You get him up, wash him off, put clean pajamas on him, take him strawberry Twinkies, turn on Ben Sculling, and sing him an old song called Room Full of Roses. Simple. Then you get in your car, and you drive to the meeting like a maniac, and you see your sponsor's face way over there. Don't talk to nobody. You buzz right over to his face, and you just, damn. I just washed poop off my dad, and there's people in here talking about flat tires and broken fingernails. I'm going to kill somebody. He said, no, you won't. He said, you go get yourself a cup of coffee and sit in your seat. I don't want to sit in my seat. Somebody will talk to me. He said, no, they won't. I'm sitting in that seat and I'm sipping that cup of coffee because when you follow a sponsor's direction that talks about something in the 12 and 12, there'll be a hole in the donut. I'm the hole in the donut. My life's good. I'm sitting there and I'm sipping that cup of coffee. And I hear you girls laughing. You know, that high-pitched laughing, giggling. And I hear you guys over here in your deep voice and you're laughing. And everybody's talking, nobody's listening. Do you know what I mean? It's an electric atmosphere. It's in this room. I heard it tonight. I can feel it. I can feel it. It's here. It's in any good meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm sipping a cup of coffee and I'm sitting in the seat. And my head goes, and if you just stay, the world's going to turn around. It's not going to be your turn in the bucket anymore. And you're going to be one of those women laughing and talking again. Don't go. Wow. I don't have to go. My sponsor says that you stay in the middle of Alcoholics Anonymous. He said, you know what, Ann, you're a little bit slow, so let me show you. And he starts bobbing. Now when you have Johnny for a sponsor, everybody starts bobbing. You know what I mean? Everybody's bobbing. Nobody knows why they're bobbing. He's looking at me and he says, we're all on the ocean, Ann, and we're bobbing on the waves. He said, everybody's swimming together. I'm having a bad day, and I'll hold you up. You're having a bad day, and I'll hold you, you hold me up. We're out there on the waves, and we're just bobbing along, and everything's good. He said, the only people that drowned in Alcoholics Anonymous are the ones that swim away. He said, you stay close. You stay with us. You stay close. Stay in the middle of this. And I'll be okay. Nobody ever has to drown. Just don't go. About 8.5 years of sobriety, the hole comes back. Oh. Huh. I don't know what's the matter. I don't feel very good. I have this hole in the middle of my stomach. Nya, nya. Don't do that to my sponsor for a very long period of time. Sometimes he'll give you a direction. Sometimes he just goes, looks at you very odd and turns his back and walks away. Oh, I hate that. But see, what that does, it makes me know that it's nothing important. It's just my head gives me a break so I don't have to keep thinking about it. So here I am. I'm nya, 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 nya. Who are you sponsoring? Oh, well, look. 8.5 years sober. Do you hear that? Whole large. Going to all the meetings, all the potlucks, everything. Doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. Oh, no, I cannot possibly sponsor people. I'm running that beauty shop. I have this little boy. I mean, I'm busy. Let the people that don't, you know, that don't have any, let them sponsor people. I can't do it. Big hole. Next maniac that walks through that door and yours. Oh. God, I love her to this very second. 6 foot tall, bleach blonde hair, spiked up this high. Psycho, that's her name. She is my first baby, Crazy Kathy. Oh, God. From the very first moment that I started sponsoring her, you got to give it away to keep it. You got to give it away to keep it. You got to give it away to keep it. The hole goes away. Don't think that every morning when these girls call me and it's their time and I got one of my babies with me and they know that I don't lie about this either. The phone's ringing, I'm going. One more of them idiots call me, I'm going to just. Hello. How are you? How's everything going? Having a good day? What are you doing today? My life's better. My life's better. Because I sponsor people. The whole goes away when you give it away. These people make me act better than I am on a continual basis. They make me show up and they make me read the book. They make me act better than I am all the time. And when I get off that phone, I'm so grateful that they called. Sometimes I hear myself say stuff and I know other sponsors say, wow, that was really good. I hope I remember that when that happens to me. Good stuff. Because every time when I pick up the phone, God help me. You turn it over to God and you just let God handle this stuff. And good stuff will happen. I don't want you to think that I was a spiritual giant when I got here. But I have a loving God in my life today that fills me up, that keeps me safe, that keeps me in a room with you. And I am truly, truly, truly grateful the way I live my life today. Thank you.